Hello, welcome to the lately very delayed in PHP podcast hangout. After yet another long struggle with Google Plus to be able to record this hangout, we finally made it. I think at least we were able to finally start it. You still have many interesting PHP topics to comment about, and this time again I have here with me Artur Sosins from Latvia. Hello Artur, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm actually quite nice, comfortable sitting, waiting for an hour to start hangout, so...
more than an hour actually.
Yeah, probably more than an hour.
Very long struggle. This is like fighting the boss monster at the end of the level.
Hope it's worth it.
Well, let's see if we can defeat it. At least for now my webcam is working. It is not being disabled by some stupid bug as in the previous months. So I also hope my microphone is working better than the other computer, which was not very good, because there are some people complaining. So I hope now it's better. So now back to the actual topics of this hangout. We are going to comment several interesting events and proposals for upcoming versions of PHP. But first, we start with the latest releases of PHP. And as usual, we had several releases of PHP 5.4. And also 5.5, and then there is already 5.6.1. Regarding the 5.4 and 5.5, I do not see much in terms of relevant things that are worth mentioning, because these are mostly bug fixes, and for 5.5 it is almost the same set of bugs that was fixed, so is it. Actually, I think 5.4 is already in security fixes mode, if I'm not mistaken. So this means that the fixes that are the same as actually security fixes, but there are no bug fixes that are not security related, if I got this right. And as for 5.6.1, I was trying to look at what could be new other than the usual set of bugs being fixed. There are some functionality improvement, but I don't think there is much to comment about.
Nothing much specific.
Yeah, because this is yet another maintenance release. Once the main PHP 5.6.0 was released, it starts getting the usual updates in terms of bug fixes and a few feature improvements here and there. But well, at least in my point of view, I don't see nothing really worth mentioning. Artur, what do you think? Have you been trying this PHP latest version 5.6, or you are in another wave?
Yeah. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm starting to moving a little more far away from PHP. So. Still using it for some projects, but my main work is now related more to Node.js.
Oh, you are a traitor.
Well, it's not Java, so...
Yeah, exactly. It could be worse. But, given that, we are now going to move on and comment about the usual set of proposals that have been made lately, mostly in... September. So there was a proposal to remove alternative PHP tags, and this is meant for PHP 5.7 And these tags are something that are sort of influence of the ASP world, namely these ones with percentage values. Personally, I've never used these tags, well, at least as I remember.
Me neither.
And, well...
That basically explains the proposal.
I don't know if other people are you, probably people that came from the Windows world. I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, you said you've never seen these tags.
No.
Well, at least I have not seen them in PHP code, but in my PHP code, and even in PHP classes packages that are submitted, I do not remember having seen these. But okay, maybe some people like to use them because at least these ones with percentage signs are shorter to type. But, well, okay. I do not miss them, so this proposal, which is by now already approved with a vast majority of the voters in favor, probably will not be a big deal to almost anybody in the PHP world. So moving on to the next proposal that was submitted last month, there is one here called loop or control structure, which is, well, personally, I'm not sure if this is really, really important because it's just a syntactic sugar, I think.
Yeah.
The idea is to have an alternate section of code that would be executed if a loop is never started because the condition is never true. I mean, a while loop. So instead of this, it will be like this for... Is it four or is it... Oh, I think it's for any of these four.
Yeah,
while and for each. And, well, I don't know if this is that important.
Yeah, well, it's one of those nice to have features that could improve, because otherwise you need to put the surrounding if statement with the same condition, writing the same condition twice, maybe not so optimal, and if you change it later, you need to change it in two places. So from that standpoint, it could be usable. But as it is nice to have feature, as I already anticipated, it was voted down. No, right?
Yeah, I was trying to figure if this is the final result, but most of the people that voted against it because it really, really does not add anything. Probably make the parser more complex, and the benefit of it is not a big deal. Well, I think. Okay, and moving on to another feature. Actually, this is a proposal. I didn't see. I didn't see really a
voting.
No, exactly RFC for this. Maybe there is one later. But basically, I think this proposal is not really new. For years, people have been trying to propose faster methods to serialize data types. Usually, use the serialized function. But some people claim it is slow. Well, when you use the serialized function, probably you are not using performance critical code. That is more to store a data type and some storage, and the storage itself will be actually the process of storing the data is actually slower than the serialization method, but there may be some cases on which the serialization method starts to impact in a greater way the performance of the whole process. So the proposal here is to, instead of using the regular serialized format, to use the message pack format, which is more compact and
faster.
Hopefully it'd be faster to serialize and unserialize. Artus, did you know this message pack format?
No, I'm not really much familiar with serialization libraries. But from my standpoint, if it would really be faster and compress it with more with less size, it should be added. The problem is if it is backwards compatible to what is already used, maybe internally or some libraries. And as I understand, the email raises exactly this issue, and maybe that's why it was not yet officially proposed for voting.
Yeah, they are just discussing it. There is a there is a actually a site here that tells more about the format, and there is a specification, and it seems to use more binary data to represent certain values. So it would take less space also, and this probably is more interesting for applications on which people are doing crazy things like serializing large nested arrays with lots of data. Well, maybe in those cases it still be more to ask if do you really need to serialize that much data in a string, or should you move on to more efficient methods to deal with large amounts of data?
Like what database handling?
Well, maybe, well, I don't know. Database could be also a storage format, but I think people should question what they are doing, if that is really a solution for what they are doing, rather than changing the method of the things they are doing. And okay, but let's move on. Here I was talking about this improvement serialization for PHP 7. I think the discussions are still going on, or maybe they stopped, but if nothing was decided, I think this topic will return again and again until somebody finally decides to implement this, because it has happened with several other topics, and not just with the serialization, but many other topics are going to return because people are persistent. Things like name parameters, they are going to return despite they were denied over and over again. I think people have seen it in Python and also wants to use it in PHP, and although they are very similar to associative arrays with less quotes. Anyway, in this case, this proposal for a serialization is more oriented to achieve better performance and more space efficiency. So, well, let's wait and see if there is any new evolution on this topic. And the next topic is a proposal that I think it was being proposed over and over again, and finally it was approved somehow for PHP 7, which they call it no coalesce operator, which is basically to create an expression to have two possible values, and if one value is false or null or zero or whatever, it picks the other. So the expression will be more or less like this.
And that is actually something that I was missing quite a lot in PHP comparing to other languages, because many times you need to validate user data and provide it the default value if it's not set. So that is a really awesome thing to do. But in my opinion, they could choose a more comprehending operator like or statement or something like that.
They probably had some reason to not choose the or operator.
Probably.
Anyway, this way it will becomes a bit more unreadable, in my opinion, and probably people will find it hard to have this in PHP, but well, okay. it will be one less excuse to defend other languages. One speech also has this feature. Personally, I would not be missing it. I'd like to make my code more verbose, more like this, so I understand what I'm doing. It's not just like this. For me, it looks like an accident, but maybe that's because I'm not used to this syntax. So the problem must be. And okay, well, anyway, this was voted and was approved, so it will be present.
You may not use it if you don't want.
Yes, there is. I have that option, like everything else. But given that logic, why certain things are approved, the others don't, just because. Even that the users in the end will have an option. So there is always a discussion here and there, but this one was finally approved, and I think they are now collecting new features to talk about in PHP 7, or else it will not be really, really new. Okay, then moving on, there is another proposal here. I think this is related with implicit typecasts of values that are done with time hinting. When you pass values to a function, now that type hinting will be supported for integers, I mean scalar values in general. So if for some reason you pass a value that is superior or inferior to the range that is allowed for integer values, and you are passing, for instance, a double or maybe a big integer, I think the idea is to throw an exception, is it? I was trying to confirm it, but I could not figure. Implementation, proposal. Well, anyway, if you try to do it and there is an overflow, something bad will happen. I don't know if it is. I was trying to see if it was an exception or a fatal error or whatever. Well,
I think there was another proposal we covered in some previous PHP podcast that proposed to have a different types, like a big integer to read from a database ID, you know. Yeah. I remember something like that, so maybe it's something related.
Yeah. And, I'm trying to find. Oh, okay. I was looking in the wrong window. Because previously I tried to enable this question and answer a feature of Google Hangouts, but because there seems to be people trying to interact, but they are not able to. So I tried to send invitations, but they were not able to join. So unfortunately, those that are trying to participate, their Google Plus is not collaborating. It is not allowing to other people to interact. So I'm sorry, but this is really, really, really bad. Every month there is a new bug. I don't know why it failed to enable the chat with the people. But although I don't know if you can see it differently, Arthurs.
Differently from what?
Yeah, you don't see anything in the chat. Because supposedly, for people that are watching, they could comment on the Hangout event, and we would see on the chat sidebar, but it is not working.
It says Q&A is disabled.
Yes, Q&A, and there is also the chat. So we need to move on. We're talking about the new coalesce operator, which was approved, and then we moved on to the overflow. So the idea here is to detect eventual bugs that will happen when implicit conversions between integers and floats are happening. Actually, they are mentioning passing to internal functions, so it may not be just the type hinting implicit conversions. Then moving on, now we're going to comment about an article that actually I posted, but it is related with a new PHP compiler that was developed by Anthony Ferrara. Recently, he started working for Google, but...
PHP developer for Google, wow.
Yeah. He's working for Google as a developer advocate, and it was not really clear if this was a Google project or not, so I contacted him and he clarified that in reality, this is not really a Google project because it is his own initiative, but since he's using his 20% of the work time to that Google allows employees to work on projects of their choice, all the copyright notices and contributor license agreements that had to be signed mentioned Google. So it's his project, but in reality, Google owns it because he's doing it on Google's time. And, well, anyway...
Google pays for it, yeah.
It doesn't affect the fact that it is very interesting, this project. As a matter of fact, I've been noticing that Anthony Ferrara has been making very interesting contributions. Actually, he tried to participate somehow in the PHP internals in the past, and he was not really happen with the way things flow. Which is not a new thing because since ever there many people just go there and don't like the scenic environment that goes on the PHP internals. Sort of some people are dedicated to to boycott each other.
Yeah.
And some people are not really very patient with that and they move on. And I think Anthony wrote an article about that. Unfortunately, he's not contributing there as he could, but now he's working for Google. I'm not sure what is the exact role that he plays in practice. It is said to be developer advocate. Maybe he participates in some event representing Google's interests on supporting PHP somehow. And but this is not really related to this topic of the compiler toolkit that he developed named Recce Compiler. So what is this project? In practice, it is able to compile PHP code, not necessarily all your PHP applications code. You can just compile parts of your code. And it uses a process of building an abstract syntax tree. Actually use a PHP parser that is totally written in PHP. Actually, the whole project is written in PHP, although it depends on an extension called JITFU for emitting native code using a library called libjit. So apart from those steps of generating native code, it is all completely written in PHP, and it uses this PHP parser library by Nikita Popov. And Nikita Popov has actually proposed and submitted code for implementing an abstract syntax tree that will be built in PHP 7. So this is the sort of the PHP version of that abstract syntax tree library, and the result of that step of building an abstract syntax tree allows to apply some optimizations in the code, and the result is code represented in an intermediary format, which is not the final native code, and that intermediary format is passed to the JITFU extension somehow to finally generate optimized native code, and this process is not really fast, especially if you have lots of PHP code that you want to optimize, So the idea is to use a caching layer that once it is compiled, you don't have to go through it again. It will be already ready to be executed in from your PHP code. So you can compile parts of your PHP code and have it compile in the native format, and you can call it like you would call it a closure function in PHP. You get a closure handle, if you can call it that, and then you call it as you call any closure functions in PHP. And that's how the code that is in regular PHP can call native code compiled this way. Arthur, have you been following this project? What are your opinions about it? Do you think it's useful, interesting?
I actually only heard of it from your blog post, so thank you for making it. I probably would have missed it, but well, I was actually quite fascinated by the results. If the result that was provided on the blog are true, then it outperforms all the currently known optimizations of PHP, and it's done in such a simple way that you basically don't need much else to accomplish it. You can do it with the existing tools, existing libraries in basically any PHP installation that you have. And you can precompile the code and deliver already compiled code, so skipping this step. So that's how you could differentiate between development server and production server.
Yeah.
So that has great advantage to it.
Right, and well, the results that he published it in the blog article that Anthony wrote were actually pasted without change in the article that I wrote about it. And as you may see, you can see lots of cases on which the results of the RecCT compiler are faster than other solutions, including HHVM and other less known solutions like EP compiler, EPVM compiler, and this could be, I do not recall what it would be, but anyway, there are several things that are worth mentioning. First, these fail notices that appear here mean that the code could not be compiled for some reason, for some limitation of the current compiler that is not yet ready to support some code that was calling these tests. These tests, I'm not sure, but I think these are from a simple test suite that comes with PHP to evaluate performance. I'm not sure about that. Anyway, there are several function calls that were called. And as you may see, these ones in green means that the RecCT provided better results. The others that fail means that it is not yet ready to handle the code, because the project itself is very early in its development. It was actually released in August, but since not many people was talking about it, I thought it would be worth commenting because it's different. It's not the same as EPUB VM and, or even the latest developments for PHP 7 that aim to bring faster code to faster, greater performance to PHP. I think it's something that you can use without excluding the others. So if you could RecCT with EPUB, in theory, because it relies on a library, on an extension that I think EPUB does not support, which is the JITFU extension. But if that extension is supported, it probably would also be supported. But I think in this case, Facebook study what exactly RecCT is doing and try to incorporate the optimizations that RecCT is bringing and try to make them appear built in APOP VM. And anyway, this is a solution that in theory you could use it right now, apart from those cases that fail, types of codes that fail for now. And you can use it in your projects as long as you have the Jitful extension installed in your PHP environment. And another aspect that is most of these, I think most or even all these tests that are being done here are basically tests that were done with code that is mostly CPU intensive, so that's not the typical
PHP application.
Yes, most PHP applications access databases, files, network, and those are asynchronous operations that depend on external systems. For instance, if you access a database, if you run your code, PHP code faster, you hardly notice big improvements because the actual database queries will be running on the server and your PHP code will not make the server run faster. you can benefit from some improvements when pulling results and maybe assembly queries and send data to the server, but it will not benefit from much from that. Anyway, I think this is an interesting development. Since nobody was noticing it much, I thought it was worth writing an article, and many, many people enjoyed it and were very happy, retweeted and shared it on Facebook and Google+, because they were very happy with this development. And other than that, I think this 2014 has been a great year for PHP in terms of new possibilities to improve its performance. First, we had EPUB VM and then the Facebook hack language that sort of bring new life to PHP, although the hack language is not exactly PHP. It's something backwards compatible, but if you want to move your code to the hack language, you probably will not be able to switch back without some conversion efforts. And anyway, it was an interesting development. And then there was the development of Xen that wanted to bring also substantial performance improvements to the next PHP version, which will be the next major PHP version, which will be PHP 7. So other than that, there is also EPVM that I did not talk much about it because that was not the focus of the article, but it's basically a sort of a similar project to HHVM, except that it relies on the PyPy technology, which is basically very similar, but was mainly for the Python world. And I don't know enough about that project, so I better not comment more than this. And then there are other projects that are less important, but they also focus on performance. Anyway, I think this is interesting. I don't know if you wanted to add any other comments, Arthur.
I mostly already said what I thought about it. The only thing that I could mention that was also in your article that it could also obfuscate the source, the precompiled code, which I think is a one of the type of business models in PHP code. When selling the sources, you need to somehow obfuscate it, and it could improve it.
Well, it was not really, really meant for that purpose, but I think there are possibilities, because once the code is compiled, it can, I can somehow be distributed that way because it will be ready to run. I don't know if it is that portable, the compiled code, the native code that is compiled, because there is that challenge that once you compile to a certain CPU, you probably have done some CPU specific optimizations that you will not be able to use in other CPUs. And even when we are talking mostly about x86 CPUs, although the code for one CPU eventually will work for another, maybe there are optimizations that take advantage of more modern CPUs that probably will make the code not as portable as it could be. Anyway, that's just a possibility. Since it was not really meant for that purpose, maybe it was not really important to think of that possibility as a feature. Anyway, moving on to another topic. This one is not exactly about PHP, but I think it interests most PHP developers, and not just PHP, because it is related with MySQL. Recently, it was announced a new plugin for MySQL Server that lets you connect to it using a regular HTTP connection. You can use a browser, but you can also use a socket connection. You can use a HTTP client to connect to it and execute queries just like you would with any web server, but in this case you would send SQL queries. And it uses JSON as a format to communicate with the server. JSON may not be the fastest format, more compact format to use, but it is portable. And for applications that are not performance intensive, the overhead of using JSON as communications format, it is not a big deal. Anyway, I thought it was interesting, Arthur. I don't know if you followed this development. Do you think it is interesting for the PHP world, or maybe not that much?
I would say it could be more interesting for JavaScript world, because previously, if you would want to access MySQL database from JavaScript, you would need to set up a server-side REST API, for example, and program an intermediate layer with PHP, for example.
You mean communicating from the browser directly?
Well, you couldn't do it, I think, from browser directly. There is no MySQL driver for JavaScript, as far as I know. So it would be through server-side either way. But now it basically behaves as a REST API and simply can send HTTP requests directly to the database without programming the backend, the PHP, skipping the web server part. So it could be probably also locally on the same machine. And it communicates in a familiar manner that you could also execute SQL queries, SQL queries. And the only thing that I'm kind of concerned of is security. So
I think it's not really meant to be called from the browser.
Yeah.
It's more like be called from Node.js or something on the server side, because authentication will always exist. So if you want to connect to a database server from a browser, even if you can make it, you have to have the username and password. And if you put the username and password in the browser, that probably causes some security concerns. So I don't think that is the use case they are thinking for this project. I think this is more to say like Now you can do as CouchDB that uses JavaScript and JSON to exchange data with the server. And I think that's more to become on par with that, because personally I don't see an application for this, even because it's less efficient to exchange data. So for queries that exchange lots of data, probably it will make it slower.
Recently, as I started to learn Node.js, looking at some examples, and it was awesomely easy to create REST API with Node.js because with using MongoDB, like NoSQL on the server side, because you simply take JSON, you put it in, and then you take the JSON out, and then you output it. So there is no modification. Like, you can create a REST API that manipulates whole documents.
You don't have to call that complicated function that is named JSON encode.
It's really, really a little code to do it. So you can basically put whole JSON documents, and it would automatically put them in database or take them out when you need it. So this is something similar, only you don't need any code at all.
Yeah, you don't need that extra function, JSON encode, to do that. Yeah, well, anyway, this is just a curiosity. I don't see many people using this on the PHP world. It's interesting. And even for in other worlds, I don't think so. MySQL also implemented a Memcache interface to perform simple queries to the server. So you could also use it like you use Memcache servers. But in this case, you still use your MySQL. So I think Oracle is committed to give you no excuse to use anything else other than MySQL servers. Anyway, this is just an interesting topic. So we are moving on to other topics. Now it's time to talk about. Now it's time to talk about a regular section on which we comment the Innovation Award winners of, in this case, July. And we actually, those were voted in August, and then in September the results come out. So we can start talking about them. First, we're going to talk about the winners of JavaScript, JS classes. Artus, which ones would you like to comment? There are actually two, so just pick one. Yeah.
Okay, so I would comment about a really interesting component. So when you execute your code, sometimes there are bottlenecks. It's working slowly and you don't know why, and you need a way to identify where is the bottleneck, which function is the one that slows the code down. And this package does exactly that. It profiles the function and measures its execution time. So you can like divide your code into these components and measure, trying to find out where is the bottleneck. There is a simple example provided with the class that there are functions, and we simply provide them to the to the profiler with the parameters we want to pass to the function. And in demo, we could see how it performs. So it says that it started at a specific timestamp, ended at a specific timestamp, and how long did it take this for this function to execute. So this kind of component really eases the tasks to identify the bottlenecks of the code. And component was created by Tony L. Requena from Spain. Probably you would know better how to pronounce this surname.
No, that's great. And let me switch here to the other package that I will comment. Starting the screen sharing if it works. Okay, the other package that I'd like to comment, this one is from Thomas Björk from Sweden. he has been a great contributor at sent several packages, and from the five that he has sent already, four were nominated to the Innovation Award. And okay, let me scroll it to the right position. Well, this basically is an optimized version of a component that could load JavaScript and CSS from remote servers. And the advantage of his approach is that it uses the local storage to cache the previously loaded JavaScript or CSS or even images, because once they are stored in on the browser, next request they are needed, they will take no time to load, and this is awesome. I think this somehow we comment about this in a previous JavaScript podcast of this possibility, but it's weird to see an actual component that implements this approach of caching these assets in local storage or session storage, depending whatever is available on your browser. So kudos to Thomas Bjork for his contribution, and for that he was entitled to pick one book of choice from PACT. Now I'm going to mention about the rankings of the Innovation Award winners of 2014, and so far Thomas Bjork is leading as an individual author with 4 packages and 15 points, and is followed by several other authors like David Castillo from Mexico with 2 packages and 13 points, then end with Jordan Marmolejo with 2 packages and 10 points, and then several other authors with 1 package, some more with more but with less points. On the ranking for in terms of countries for 2014, so far France is leading with 3 packages and 17 points. It is followed right after by Sweden with 4 packages and 50 points. Those the same are from Thomas Bjork. And then Mexico with 2 packages and 13 points. Those are the packages of David Castillo. And then Spain with 3 packages with 12 points, followed right after by Italy with 3 packages and 8 points, Canada with 3 packages and 7 points, and then several other countries with just 1 package and but less points. So as you, we may see, the competition is heating up. It is interesting. PHP, the JS classes site has somehow been affected by Google search ranking updates in the last 2 years, and that sort of brought less users that to become potential contributors. So the number of contributors that have been sending packages, at least in the early the first months of the year, was very slow. I mean, the increase in packages was very slow, and but since I think June, Google did an update on the search rankings, and the traffic to JS classes improved a lot, and that allowed to bring many more packages. And as you may see below, I mean actually above, in the next month that we see here, I think it is August, we already see many contributions. I hope that this contribution keep coming at this pace, because JS class has the potential to grow a lot. And it just depends on the users to participate. So given that, let's move on to the PHP Innovation Award. And talking about PHP, first I'd like to make a few comments on several interesting things before we talk about the actual nominees. First, there was a few glitches that were fixed this month. One, it was the fact that the site was considered that United Kingdom and Great Britain would be actually different countries. I know that, to be accurate, it's not exactly the same thing, but in practice the users were being from United Kingdom were being moved to state that they were from Great Britain. So there were we could see on the ranking that the United Kingdom and Great Britain would appear there as if they were separate countries, and that would change the rankings of United Kingdom as a whole. So that the problem was fixed. It was due to the fact that the list of countries that the site uses comes from the CIA World Fact Book, and they considered Great Britain and United Kingdom as separate regions. Well, to be accurate, they are separate regions, but the actual users are from the same country. So that was one issue. Another issue is that the site in reality allows nominees, winners, to vote on themselves. If they on a certain month they go there to the voting page and they want to vote on they look at the winners and they think that their own package is the one that deserves to win, they can vote on this on themselves. But there was a glitch in the user interface that prevented that to happen, that problem was fixed. So if you are a nominee and you would like to vote on yourself, you can. And this was a thing that was implemented to allow that all authors get some votes, because sometimes when there are many nominees, most people tend to vote on the same few, and there are some nominees that do not get any votes. So if they do not get any votes, they are not entitled to pick any prizes. So from now on, at least you can vote yourself and increase your chances to get a prize. And given that, now let's talk about the actual nominees, actually winners, that were from July. Arthur, which ones would you like to comment?
Okay, the first one I would like to comment on is something that really interests me. While in university, I had written a research work about alternative ways of how to authenticate user, and there were different interesting ways, like using Inkbot, using rhythm of typing and stuff like that. And here Alexandru Oceana from Romania provides another interesting way. Basically, upon registration, it generates the image. Yeah, here we can see that image. It generates an image that represents your registration, your account, and then by providing this same image, you can authenticate yourself. So it's basically like a key card that only you have, and you can authenticate using it. That's why I picked this package as the first, and for this package, Alexandru gets Zen Editor, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's Zen Studio Editor, to be accurate.
Zen Studio Editor, okay, yeah. Yeah, so the second package I would like to comment on is by Francisco del Aguila from Spain. And while the most common CAPTCHA implementations are of making text unreadable, unfortunately, to both bots and users, then I usually try to follow what are other interesting ideas. And one of the ideas now provided by Francisco So what he does, he generates geometrical figures and inputs the numbers in them, and then he provides the correct geometrical figure. So you need to input all the numbers that are in this provided geometrical figure. So it's something like you need to figure out and do. And it's not unreadable text. It's much easier to do. And basically, that is why I liked it. And Francisco gets PHP Ed Professional Editor for it. It was an editor, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Ed is for editor. It's PHP Ed is probably one of the oldest editors, like Zen Studio. So it is a great prize. Most typically the prizes that are picked by the first winners are IDEs. So as you actually can see here.
Yeah.
Like the five first prizes were IDEs, editors.
Yeah, editors. That's right.
On my behalf, I would like to also comment on a few packages. Let's first comment about this PHP function profiler by Tony Requena from Spain. Basically, it's a package like several others that exist that allow you to measure the time that PHP code takes place, but this one is a bit different because it can profile in the individual functions, and it's somewhat different from many of the other codes. Codes that exist that they rely on you to call the benchmarking class to take note of the time that it took to execute, and this one works the other way around. It's the actually class that calls the code that you want to benchmark. So kudos for Tony for his contribution, and for that it picked one downloadable copy of a code Lobster Professional, which is also an editor. And it is interesting that Tony has been one of the PHP developers that has been helping Spain to rank better, but we will comment a bit about that ahead. Other than that, I would like to also comment another package nominated to the Innovation Award. It was developed by Ashburn Grant, and it is called BeanString, and it is to manipulate text using the MBString extension, and this is interesting because PHP does not have a really nice and elegant solution to deal with Unicode text, and you need to rely on extensions like the MBString, but at the same time you would like to use the original string manipulation functions. So depending on whether that extension is available or not, you would have to call one set of functions or the other. So Ashburn provides a solution that wraps that decision in of calling one set of functions or the other in the class, and then you just call the class and you don't have to put any conditions on your code. So it's a much nicer solution to for this problem of localization. And for this contribution, Ashburn got a prize, which was an O'Reilly book. O'Reilly books are a type of prize that is picked very, very frequently. And now that we cover all the winners, let's talk about the current standings of the Innovation Award rankings for 2014 in PHP. And currently, the rankings are have been evolving a lot because many packages have been submitted. The current rankings that show we already include the winners of August. So those are the ones that we're going to mention next month. But so far, Qiu Wang from Germany is leading individually with six packages and 27 points. So it's like he sends one new package a month, and the since he tends to send innovative packages intentionally, so he's really participating in the innovation world, not just by occasion, but
consistently.
He really wants to win the innovation award. And it's great because he's been sending some very interesting contributions. Now he's leading. But follow right after him, Orazio Prince from Italy with three packages and 24 points. So it's following him right behind. Despite he submitted only half of the packages. And then in third position is Andrew Jordan Marmolejo from Spain with three packages and 16 points. Then Ashborn Grant from Denmark with two packages and 12 points. And then several other authors with one package but less points. Or by country, these things have changed a bit because of a detail. There was a user that, I think it was Patrick Lasso. He formerly he said he was from Spain, but now he says he is from the United States. Probably moved there recently. So with that, he switches all his points to United States, which formerly would have gone to Spain. So this is an unusual situation, but it's totally legal. It was not a trick. It was something that happened. But still, in the ranking, Italy is leading with five packages and 34 points. It's a bit ahead of the United States and Germany that, and Spain that are not tied in the second position with 27 points. United States only four packages, Germany and Spain with six packages. Then right behind them there is Iran with three packages and 26 points. Then Brazil with five packages, 25 points. Then Russia with three packages and 23 points. And then there is United Kingdom, Denmark, and Romania with two packages and less points. Now you can see that United Kingdom is showing up on the rankings thanks to the coalescing of the points from Great Britain, which in the end would be from the same country. So, this is the ranking considering the winners of August. There are still 4 months to be considered for the Innovation Award ranking 2014. I think there is still great chances of these rankings to change. What do you think, Arthur?
Sure. As we seen before, then some countries are suddenly popping up and then going down, and it changes constantly in every month.
Yeah, and I think it is great because thanks to this Innovation Award winners competition. Well, it's an healthy competition. It's not really that people are beating each other. Each user participates individually, so they do not sort of fight other users directly. They just try to do their best. And so far, this has been contributing to great submissions and actually, recently, typically at the beginning of the month when the Innovation Award results are announced, there is a mailing that goes out telling each author how their rank, how their country is standing in the rankings, and they feel motivated to participate in this Innovation Award. And right in the days that follow, there is a surge of packages. I think the record that I got so far is like 24 packages in the queue. And this has been giving me a lot of work because I need to make an effort to approve the package faster, so the authors do not have to wait too much for the package to be approved. But well, all this is positive. It's a lot more work to me, but I do not mind. It has been a great initiative, and I hope it continues to be so because everybody is winning. The authors are getting more exposure to their work. They are also having fun because they are sort of collaborating with the other developers from other from the same countries in order to make a better performance for the countries, eventually win the big prize by the end of the year. And this has been very exciting. I think it continued to be so. And I'm not going to comment much about what will happen in the next weeks. There's a new big feature about to be launched. I'll get back to that in our next podcast. But all that will foster further the Innovation Award because it will give ideas for new packages to be submitted. But I'll get back to that next month. So with this, we practically ended this comment on the Innovation Award winners. I hope this continues to be a great initiative, and many authors and users benefit from the great packages that are being shared. So now we reach practically the end of this podcast. Arthur, I don't know if you have anything else to comment.
Sure. With what we have seen in PHP, all the changes, the so-called sugar syntaxes, optimizations, and every month the topics we discuss, I think that it only proves that PHP community does not get smaller, but maybe only bigger and only gains popularity. So
yeah,
there is a bright future.
Yes, exactly. I actually mentioned that in the other month, and it's great to see that the greatest competitors of PHP are also working on PHP. So that is a very fortunate situation that PHP is in, and everybody that has been investing their careers on PHP development. As you mentioned again, the future is bright. And with that, we practically ended this podcast. I'd like to thank you again, Hartus, for coming. And on my behalf, that is all for now. Bye.
Bye.